this is Ronnie Hull. Welcome to the May edition of Senior Connect, the monthly podcast of seniors ministry at First Pres Columbia. During the COVID-19 pandemic, there has been an exponential increase in our use of technology and the internet as we stay connected with our church and family, pay bills, give to our church, and follow news stories. In September of 2019, Seniors Ministry offered seminar number one in our lifelong learning series. The topic of that first seminar was Personal and Digital Security, with a subtitle, Protecting Your Identity, Money, and Devices. 80-plus attendees in Wardlaw Auditorium heard City of Columbia investigator R.J. Cullip's presentation, and many others who could not attend expressed interest in hearing a recording. If you would like to have Investigator Cullip's PowerPoint slides, please email Janet at jaltman@firstprescolumbia.org. That again is the letter J, ALTMAN@firstprescolumbia.org. And now, here is Investigator R.J. Cullip, representing the Columbia Police Department. We hope you find the presentation informative and helpful.
So, let's talk about fraud. We got three different kinds of fraud that generally occurs. Number one, the internet. You know, internet's an amazing tool, and unfortunately it's an amazing tool for criminals too. We also have fraud by phone and fraud by mail. So, we're going to break it down a little bit. We're going to talk about criminal activity using the internet. So, I kind of like to keep things a little light. It's a lot of serious topics we cover here. So, identity theft, you know, we'll talk a lot about how it's using another person's information to commit theft or fraud. We'll talk specifically about facilitating by the internet. Somebody's already asked me about the robocalls that you guys get. Now, I don't know if you guys know this, but the majority of that is actually done through the internet. It's not done by a phone line. We'll talk a little bit about social engineering too. That's some interesting stuff. Can anyone, no, you don't have to raise your hand or anything like that. What's something that you think is a required data for me to commit identity theft against you? What's something I need from you guys? Social security numbers, date of birth, yeah, again, all stuff like that. You know, what about your mother's maiden name? What about previous addresses you've lived at? These are a lot of the common security questions that you guys hear when you sign up for bank accounts and stuff like that. So, you know, here's a couple of different things. Social security numbers, dates of birth, Medicare numbers, addresses, birth certificates, death certificates, passports, you know, just in general, your financial accounts. You know, if I get your bank account number and your routing number, there's a lot of stuff I can do with that. So let's talk a little bit about social engineering. Many companies collect public information and publish it on their websites. I don't know if any of you guys are familiar with these. Most people are familiar with the bottom one, Ancestry.com. So a lot of people have accounts that for Ancestry.com. So what social engineering is I know who you are. I've discovered your identity somehow, some way, and I want to access your financial accounts. Well, if I get on Ancestry.com and I have a paid account, I can plug in your name, and all of a sudden I can have a lot of historical information about your family, right? I can have your mother's name, you know, your father's name, you know, their ancestral lineages, the areas that you've lived. You know, this is all stuff that's just out there on the internet. My life and Spookio are unique. I'll show you an example later, but they give detailed information about you as a person. It's kind of like an online background check. So if you pay for it, all of a sudden I can have a lot of basic information about you with only your name. Just plug in your name and then bam, it tells me approximately how old you are, some of your previous addresses, that kind of stuff. Why this is important is it works in conjunction with social media. Does anybody have social media in here? Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, that kind of stuff? All right. The big things is it's a great resource for predators, scam artists, fraudsters. What's interesting is if it's online, it is not private. Let's say I've identified somebody that I want to commit fraud against. Well, if your online profile is not blocked or not set to private, and I do this in my criminal investigations too, say I have identified a suspect and I don't know what his birth date is. Well, might be able to Google him with like these My Life things, say, oh, he's about 30 years old. I know what his Facebook is. I go look him up on Facebook and I'll just scroll down until I see people telling him, happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday. So then all of a sudden, now I know exactly the day he was born and I know about how old he is. So bam, just like that, I've got his birthday. So I have their name and birthday. And what all can I do with name and birthday? Is that one of the required things for identity theft? Social media is a great thing, right? It's a great communication tool. You can link with people you might not have seen in a long time across vast distances. But privacy is important. My stuff is about as locked down as you can get. But I'll show you later, there's still a lot of information about me out there in the world. Go a little bit further. We'll talk a little bit about criminal activity on the internet. We'll talk a little bit about foreign scams. A lot of the stuff that you get now is stuff that comes out of other countries. The vast majority of them is going to come in some type of written communication. And the reason why is because if you talk to them, they got a real thick accent and it's pretty obvious they're not here. Also, you see this a lot with the random spam emails that you'll get, where they just solicit some kind of information, some kind of payment. The big famous one that went around a couple years ago was the Nigerian prince. I have all this money and it's tied up in Nigeria and I want to get it to you. If you can just pay the fees, I'm going to bring it all to you. And you wire them money and guess what? It never comes. Again, like I said, the majority of them involves some type of share in a large sum of money on the condition you'll help them transfer the money out of their country. We also have the online romance scams. This is a big one that affects us. And it's not in a way that you might think. You know, you have the people that just straight up send money to Africa or other countries. Or you also have the ones that they are considered a money mule. And what that means is they may have a conversation with somebody for a year and then they get a call from somebody else saying, oh, they've been arrested. And the only way that we can get them out is if you wire this money to this address. We're going to put it in your account. Just give me your bank account number. So the next thing I know is I get a walk-up complaint at headquarters and he said, the bank just shut down my account and I don't know why. He comes and shows me his bank records. And in the matter of 2 months, he had $300,000 move through his bank account and then wired to a different location. So I went and talked to the FBI and they're like, yeah, it went straight to Nigeria. They ended up going having a talk with that individual. But, you know, he's like, I talked to this girl on the internet for 2 years before this ever even happened. That's how long they groomed him to do this. Anyone that you never meet face-to-face, you cannot trust that is them on the internet. You know, my dad, he worked a lot of internet stuff back in North Carolina, where I'm from. And whenever he would come do these talks, he always came and introduced himself as, hi, I'm Nancy, 14-year-old girl. Well, you know, he's 6'5", you know, 280. But on the internet, people just believe it. You know, they just take it at their word. You know, they say, oh, okay. Sure. What you wearing? A lot of the other things we see with foreign scams, and this should be the biggest red flag. And this is for any type of sales in general. Like if you ever have something for sale on an online marketplace, Facebook marketplace, Craigslist, Letgo, OfferUp, there's a million of them now. If anyone offers to give you more money than what it's for, that is a giant red flag. Because what it is they're going to send you a check with vastly more than the dollar amount. So if you're selling something for $100, they're going to send you a check for $1,000. And they're going to say, well, the other $900 goes to shipping. Yes. Yeah, it sounds like somebody's heard of this. Yeah. So what they're actually doing is they're making you an accomplice in defrauding the bank. So the bank actually gets this check and then they say, hey, why is this person scamming us? There have been a loyal customer here for 10 years and now they're scamming us out of money. Well, they're not. I mean, we don't try and go arrest you because we see it all the time. We know what's going on. But a lot of that stuff comes from these overseas scams. And you see, the weird thing about it is they go, I get this all the time. Well, somebody mailed me this check. Can't you go find them? So we go find them, and you know what they say is, Well, they say, I got hired by a company to just mail these. So my job, if, I don't know if you guys are driving down the road, you see those signs on the side of the road that say work from home, make $200 a week, you know, stuff like that. A lot of that is this. So they literally mail them a bunch of checks and then they say, take it out of this package, put it in this package and mail it to this address. And they'll pay them a very nominal, you know, amount of money to do this. And people, hey, I get to work from home. I'm making money. They don't think anything about it until the cops come knocking on their door. A lot of the stuff, again, you get these same. It'll be an email communication a lot of the times. They'll send out. We see a lot affecting college students where they say, hey, have you ever wanted to be a model? And they'll show up and the people, they won't have anything. They'll say, oh, well, there was a problem with the setup today. You know, we're going to send you your money just for your time and your hassle. And again, it's going to be an overpayment. And then they say, just wire us the rest of the money. You keep a little bit for yourself just for the inconvenience. So again, like I said, one of the biggest red flags, overpayment, this giant red flag. So that's one of the things I want to make sure you guys know. If you're ever not sure about something, take it to your bank. The bank can tell you. They can make calls. And a lot of the times, all it takes is one phone call, and they'll be able to tell you, yeah, this is a closed account, or it's a fraudulent check, or something along those lines. So, you know, like I said before, the other one is requesting bank information for direct deposit. Like I said, with those money mule situations and stuff like that. Yeah, so the other big red flag is, of course, nobody is ever going to ask you to go buy iTunes gift cards and read the number off the iTunes gift card. That doesn't happen. Like, that's not a real thing. But people do it. You know, if you get somebody and they say, we're going to pay you, but the money's tied up in processing right now. You just need to go buy $1,000 worth of Walmart gift cards. Just scratch off the number, read it to us, and then we'll get you this $10,000. Nobody does that. Nobody legit does that. But it's something we see all the time. I've already heard this from a couple of people too, that they're not too familiar with computers. They don't deal with them too much. So this is a big one. IT scam. A lot of the times they send out basically a shotgun blast email, right? They're not aiming specifically for you as an individual. They're just looking for one person to respond. They send out these big lists of emails to these giant listservs saying, oh, you have a virus or you have some kind of problem on your system. Your Windows is expiring or something like that. So then they offer to fix it. I'll help you fix it. All you got to do is I'm going to send you something. You just download it on your computer just like that. It's that easy. You know, yeah, you're going to have to pay me for it, but that's okay. We'll work that out after we do it. So if you install something on your computer and they remote access into your computer, they have access to anything you have on that computer ever. This is important, right? Because if you have ever done mobile or online banking on that computer, what do they have access to now? Everything. So there was one particular incident here in Columbia. Gentleman, same thing happened to him. Gets a random email from somebody saying that his Windows is expiring and they want to help him fix it. There's a problem with the software. So he installs this thing to help him fix it. They remote in. They say, hey, you know, there's a small fee. It's like $25. We'll fix it. No problem. He thinks he's paying it. He logs on to his online bank while they're remoted into his computer to send them the money like they asked him to. Next thing you know, of course, what happens is they accidentally gave him a huge refund, like $20,000. So they said they accidentally hit a couple zeros in there, didn't mean to do it. All he has to do is they're going to give him an address. He just needs to go to his bank, take $20,000 out of the bank, put it in a box, and mail it to this address in California. He goes, well, I mean, this money, it shows as a credit into my account. Like, you know, okay, you know, it's a little weird, sure, but I didn't have this money, and then it just shows up one day. So he goes and he does it. Well, goes and talks to the bank, and guess what? When they had access to his computer and he logged on to his banking stuff, what he did was the suspect actually took money out of his savings account, transferred it into his checking account, and that's where the credit came from, the refund. So they literally just stole his money. So this stuff happens all the time, unfortunately. Again, like I said at the bottom here, typically the refund or the credit that you get to your account is your money. They've just moved it around. So it appears that you're getting a large sum of money, and then they want you to take it out and give it to them. So we'll talk about criminal activity using the phone. I don't know if any of you guys have ever gotten any of these calls saying, hey, this is so-and-so from the Columbia Police Department. This is so-and-so from Richland County Sheriff's Department. You got a warrant. All you got to do is go get me some prepaid cards. Post your bond. Yeah, that's not real. But we get this a lot. The IRS, that was a big one that's been happening recently. U.S. Marshals. My cousin actually got fooled by the U.S. Marshals one. And, you know, he's 28, so don't feel bad. Then, of course, local law enforcement. We have people who pretend to be officers at our police department who are currently working for us. Sometimes they just make up a name in general. Other times it's real police officers that they pretend to be. So we're talking a little bit about spoofing. So spoofing is where you can use, you get a phone call and the phone number appears to be a different number. It's used by the internet, right? So that's why I was saying a lot of the robocalls come from the internet, because there's a way that you can do what's, it's called a voice over internet protocol. And if you have an advanced account, you can make it look like whatever number you want it to look like. So I can make it, the number on your phone when you get the call, look like the Columbia Police Department's phone number. It'll be 803-545-3500. And, you know, a lot of times on caller ID, it shows up, City of Columbia Police Department. Now, a lot of people think it's legitimate because it says on their caller ID, U.S. Marshals, you know. And if you call the number back, you'll get the real U.S. Marshals. You won't get the criminal. The big thing is, we want to tell you, you will never receive a phone call that says you or a loved one has a warrant and then you need to pay money. The only time you're going to need to pay money is you need to go to a government building and hand somebody money in person, right? If you get a speeding ticket, if you get a parking ticket, you know, we're not going to call you on the phone and say, go to Walmart, get vanilla gift cards, scratch off the number, read it to me. That doesn't happen. Again, it's something that happens every day, every single day. And again, like I said, my cousin who's 28 years old, he gave him $10,000 because they told him he had a warrant out of Texas. And he said, I haven't even been to Texas. That's another clue, right? So, you know, there's a whole other aspect to it that it gets real dark and disturbing. There's a whole other stuff, you know, called sextortion, where they tell you, we're doing an investigation into you where you've been looking at child porn or something like that. And they'll do this stuff because they don't want you to get embarrassed, right? So it doesn't matter if you actually did it or not. You just don't want that information coming out. So they use that pressure of, you know, we don't want to have to go to the media, but if we do, your face is going to be blasted all over the news. So if you just pay this money now, we can get this taken care of. So, you know, it gets pretty dark and disturbing. You know, this can be local. I can't give you too much information, but we've had somebody who's pretended to be an officer with us for 2 years, and he's been doing this. They did a big, the case is still ongoing, so like I said, I can't give too much information, but they tied it to the calls were coming from Department of Corrections. They were coming from inmates inside the jail. We're doing this. And this is how they make money. They got all day to sit around and think about how to scam us. It's stuff that happens. So I put the little fire on this one because this is the one that's hot in the streets right now. Has anybody gotten these calls telling your Social Security benefits have been suspended or put on hold? So I get these calls too. The same thing happened a few years ago with the IRS. And the IRS one actually got busted by the FBI, I think it was last year, and it was coming out of India. And the country of India was doing the IRS scam, and they had like a whole warehouse of like 150 people making these phone calls, and they had scammed people out of millions and millions and millions of dollars. But again, they take a shotgun approach, they get a big phone list, and they literally just hire people like telemarketers to just call. Just dial and call. And then if they actually get somebody on the phone who will talk to them, they'll transfer it to the person who speaks the best English. And they just, their whole goal is to just not let you get off the phone. Because if they let you get off the phone, then they lose. So their whole thing is not they're not going to let you get off the phone. They're going to hold you on the phone. They're going to put a lot of pressure on you to try and keep you on the phone because, oh, your benefits are going to be frozen. There's fraud. You got to talk to us. You can't get off the phone. You can't talk to anybody else. You've got to go to the store right now. You've got to go get those Walmart gift cards. You've got to do it. And they're very pushy and they're very over the top. Like I said, I just wanted to touch on that because that's the one. I mean, I've gotten these 3 times in a day. So we'll talk a little bit about criminal activity using the mail. Has anyone ever gotten one of these letters in your mailbox saying that you are a big time winner? You won a contest and you're like, I don't even remember entering a contest. What should you do with the letter? There you go. So the whole goal is, and I'm sure you guys have seen it, it's usually addressed to this or current resident. You know, they are literally just trying to get some sort of communication with you. They want to know that you're a person and that you will respond. And then here comes the other things like, oh, all you got to pay is shipping and handling. Give me your bank account information. You know, oh, well, we just need to verify your personal information and then we can ship everything to you. So this is another one. A lot of times these are usually, these aren't usually foreign scams. These are usually local. So this is something that, you know, definitely we see. The good thing is that this stuff's been going on for so long that most people know now, like, yeah, if you get one, you just toss it out, right? The spam mail. We'll talk a little bit about security breaches. I generally feel like I'm pretty secure with my personal information, right? Like, I do a pretty good job. But what about the companies that we use? At this point, you should ask yourself, you know, is my personal information out there somewhere on the internet? The answer is most likely, yeah. Let's talk about Yahoo. They have had 3.5 billion, with a B, accounts hacked between 2013 and 2014. What information do you give to Yahoo when you sign up for an account? Usually it's your name and your birthday. Now that's a whole lot of names and birthdays out there. The one good thing is that you don't have to give them real information. You can just set up an account with any information you put in there. But the worst part about this one in particular that really makes a lot of people upset is, you know when they actually told people that they had a breach? Yeah, they told them about 2017 that they had 3.5 billion accounts exposed. So that's a particular frustrating one. You got the Marriott Hotel, 500 million. You know, the bad thing about some of these, Marriott and, you know, Adult Friend Finder is a dating website for adults, MySpace. So some of the business ones, right? Under Armour, Marriott, is they have to have real information because they're mailing people stuff and you know, people are signing up to stay in their hotel. So like that's guaranteed true information. You know, stuff like MySpace, Adult Friend Finder, Yahoo, a lot of the times you can give them fake information. You know, for email, for instance, I have an email, a personal email account through Gmail. Only thing I put in there was my name. The rest of it I just made up. Like I didn't put my real birth date or anything like that in there because they don't require you to have a real birth date. So why would you put your real one in there? And I'm not telling you, you got to go back and change stuff now. I mean, you know, at this point, everyone's stuff's out there. So Equifax, so if you have credit, period, there was a good chance you were exposed in July 2017. eBay, 145 million in May. Target, Heartland Payment Systems. Heartland Payment Systems was a company that did a lot of stuff for hospitals. They were a general medical payment processing facility for a lot of different hospitals across the U.S. LinkedIn, it's a business, social media, Rambler. So that's a Russian website. But this was just a list of the top, I think top 20. AOL, MyHeritage, Sony PlayStation Network, JP Morgan Chase, Tumblr, Uber, Home Depot, Facebook. So we got all this list right here. Guess which one's not on there that probably affected every single one of us in this room? South Carolina Department of Revenue. So, like I said, at this point, it's safe to bet that your information is probably out there somewhere. So, how do you protect yourself? This is the question I get all the time, right? There's no easy answer. Because at this point, like I said, your information is probably out there. But I guess one of the good things is that there's so many other people whose information's out there as well. You know, at this point, it's like you're a piece of sand on the beach, right? The biggest thing is have a plan for your finances. I'm sure most of the people in this room at this point have some kind of plan. They have retirement accounts. They have, you know, Social Security. They have things in place to help monitor their finances, right? One of the other big things is talk to other trusted persons about your finances. I'm not saying give them access, but it also helps to have other people know what, in general, what your finances, your plans are, so that if something's odd or out of place, they can step in. You know, we see a lot with the romance scams, for instance, where all of a sudden somebody starts taking tons of money out and just sending it to this person. There's one I've been contacted about within the last year. She was emptying out her retirement accounts, emptying them out. And she's paying this guy $750,000 over the course of a year. And the bank actually went to the lady's daughter because she was a widower. She didn't have anyone else close by. The bank approached the daughter and said, look, you know, we think something's going on here. And the daughter said, basically, well, I talked to my mom about it, and this is what she wants to do. But the bank can't give numbers, right? They can't say she's given $750,000 over a year. The only thing they can say is, like, there's been some suspicious payments, because there is privacy stuff that goes on there. So that's just why having conversations with people about your finances, like I said, you don't have to give them specifics. You don't have to give them access. But this type of stuff probably wouldn't happen if her daughter knew more about her financial situation. Because as soon as something popped up where, you know, she wires $100,000 to this guy who's 40 years younger than her, you know, that probably would have raised some red flags. The other thing is check your finances often. You know, the advancement of the internet is an amazing tool, right? You know, you can learn anything. You can do anything these days. You know, the criminals use it, but why can't we use it too? I have my mobile banking application on my phone, and I check it almost daily just to see if there's something odd or out of place, something that I don't recognize happening. And, you know, a lot of these financial institutions will help you. They will help you do this stuff. They will show you how it works. They will help you. And then the biggest thing by far is if you are ever concerned, even the most minor concern, call your bank. The bank can help you. They have immediate access to your accounts. So what we hear a lot is they said, well, I went to the cops. Well, if you come to me and you say, I think I'm being victimized, guess what I'm going to tell you? Go to your bank. Get the information. Let me look at it. Okay, so I do have something in here about LifeLock. They have a purpose. There are other companies like LifeLock as well. It's not just LifeLock. So they're a credit monitoring service. So here's the thing. They do the same things that you can do yourself for free, but they'll do it for you, and then there's some insurance in there as well, so that if something does happen to slip through the cracks, they cover up to a certain amount. So that's generally what these companies do. Now, the biggest thing is I usually tell people, if you have the ability to do it yourself, you can do it yourself for free. Because the only thing they do is monitor your credit, and they put freezes on your credit, and they just watch for when stuff comes up. And this is, again, it's all stuff you can do yourself. So it's more of a convenience thing, to answer your question. And just in case anybody couldn't hear, he said, what about LifeLock or other credit monitoring service? What do I think of them? So it's a long answer, I know. But if you have the time and ability, you can do it yourself for free. But if you want to just have the convenience of it, they do work. So, you know, you have to make your own decision. I can't give any recommendations about any particular one. They do put freezes on your account, so that stops the vast majority of it. Now, it is possible to get stuff that slips through the cracks, for sure, because it stops hard inquiries. So, you know, we'll talk, that's a lot of the finer details of like credit checking. Hard inquiries are used like when you get loans and stuff like that, but there's a lot of soft inquiries too, and it doesn't stop soft inquiries. So say I want to, say I've identified you, I want to take advantage of your cell phone service. So I know that you have AT&T. Well, I get some information about you. You know, I go on the internet and I order a fake ID from China, and it's got all your personal information, but it's got my photo on it. So I can walk into AT&T, and if I've got enough information about you, I can get phone lines added to your phone plan, and I can walk out of the store with a brand new iPhone, $1,200 iPhone, and nothing will ever show up on your credit report. You'll just get a phone bill, and your phone bill is going to be $1,000, but that stuff happens every day, every single day. You know, again, so how do you protect yourself, right? It's a complex answer. I've made a few arrests in those situations, like with the soft inquiries, where it wouldn't have shown up on any credit report or anything like that. And a lot of the times those are people who aren't even from here. They're from Texas, California, Florida, and they literally just travel and commit fraud. And it's only if we just so happen to get there in time before they leave the store that we can lay hands on them. So, and a lot of that stuff stems from the security breaches, right? That's where a lot of the times they get those information. And it may not be a giant security breach from a hacker. It could just be somebody who works in an AT&T call center in Venezuela. You give them a call, and then they just write down your information on a piece of paper, and then they go back and sell it later on. We had a police officer who worked for the Columbia Police Department who was a victim of identity fraud, and that's what it was. We actually tracked it down. It was a guy in Venezuela. What can I do about that? I called AT&T, and they said, oh, we'll fire him, but... So, the resources. The three credit bureaus, they have a lot of really good information. They have a really detailed explanations on how to freeze your credit, how to, you know, protect yourself from identity fraud. I wish that I could give you all the details that you needed, but I can't, because there's so many different ways that you can get affected. Now, what I can tell you is that identitytheft.gov has got a ton of information on it, a ton of information. So identitytheft.gov is actually run by FTC, the Federal Trade Commission. So the Federal Trade Commission has online complaint forms. So when you get, or you can even call them and make a complaint too, but a lot of times with the robocallers, if you are a victim of one of those, the FBI is investigating it. They are, but there's going to be so many victims that they can't get to you all individually. So they ask you to do this, to go to the Federal Trade Commission and make your complaints to them. Because, and like I said, they are working on them. You know, they finally shut down that IRS operation where they had the, you know, 150, 200 employees in India who were just scamming us. They do work on them. The problem is the bulk of victims is so hard to individually get to, so that they ask to do that. And then again, I know we already kind of talked ad nauseum about the private credit monitoring companies, and LifeLock's the big name. That's what everyone talks about and goes to. And like I said, they are good. Like they do what they say they do. And one of the best things about it is that there is usually some kind of guarantee or insurance that if some fraud does happen, that they will cover up to X amount. And it's usually like $1 million. It's usually a pretty substantial amount, $100,000, $1 million, something like that. But again, I just wanted to stress that it's all stuff that you can do on your own for free. So one of the questions I got earlier, well, if I'm concerned about it, should I just go ahead and put a freeze on my account? You can. It just makes it difficult to do anything. You know, if you ever are opening a new account, if you are doing new direct deposit, if you are have to get a new cell phone, if you have to go and get a new car, like these are all things that are going to get held up because you have a freeze on your credit. Now, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, you can do it. And if you're at a point in your life where you're not going to be making purchases, there's not going to be a lot of things that are influencing your credit, then you can. And you, it will help. It will help because a lot of the stuff that there's advanced identity fraud that goes on out there, like with the social engineering, and you might not even know about it until 6 months later when you just randomly get a bill in the mail for something you never did. Now, something like a freeze on your credit would have probably have stopped that. Yeah, probably would have. But it's not an easy answer like, yes, you should, no, you shouldn't, because it depends on what's going on in your life as an individual. So I've talked about before the social engineering, right? MyLife.com. They got a lot of information out there that's pretty scary. This is me. So my name is Richard James Cullop. I am 31 years old. I do live in West Columbia, and I did live in Lexington, North Carolina at one time. And the only thing I did is I went to this website and I typed in my name and hit enter. This information, the scary thing is that it's anybody. Like, it doesn't matter. Something that scared me the other day that I didn't know about. Did you know that the state newspaper publishes every single real estate sale in the state of South Carolina? I Googled my name the other day and I saw when I bought a house in 2014, I was like, they put my address on here, you know? It's crazy. So, and this is the type of information that it screens and it gets this information. It's a web scraper is what they call. And they get your information like this. Now, you can go to these individual websites and then you can ask them to take your information off. But the problem is there's so many of them. And the internet here blocks it. I can actually get a more detailed report. And if you click on view my reputation profile, it blocks me. So I was going to actually pull that up for you guys, but it won't let me. But it wouldn't let me. But but it actually has a map. And the pin on the map is the house I grew up in. In Lexington, North Carolina. So, again, like I said, with the social engineering, so I can, and this is where I have got your information from somewhere, and I'm specifically targeting you as an individual. I type your name in here, pull that up. I go to ancestry.com, put your information in. I can look up what your mother's maiden name is and when she was born, and I got a ton of information that I can use. And again, I want to just say one other thing. Every single thing that I told you about, every example of stuff in this presentation is stuff that's happened in the city of Columbia. Our city council members were targeted with social engineering. And the same people that targeted them were targeting U.S. representatives and U.S. senators as well. So, you know, this is all stuff that happens every day that I encounter every day. So the question is how do you protect yourself? You just do what you can, right? Like you put the freezes on your accounts, you monitor your stuff, and you just stay steadfast, right? Constantly vigilant.
As we conclude this edition of Senior Connect, please remember to contact the church if we might assist you during these days. The pastoral care phone number is 803-513-7931. When you call this number, please leave a voicemail so the pastor on call may return your call. That number again is 803-513-7931. Thanks for listening. I leave you with this reminder from Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion.